Andy, after church, come see me. Uh-uh. I got a lot. Huh? Oh, there'd be no candy in the word. Get ready. Okay.
Hallelujah. We're ready. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you, Abba, Father. Happy Father's Day, dear Jesus. It's Father's Day every day that you allow us, dear Lord. Every day, dear Lord, that we could speak your name, dear Jesus. We give honor to you. Today, we celebrate our earthly fathers, and we thank you for them, dear Lord. We thank you for those that are in Christ that are a wonderful example of who you are, dear Lord. They represent, dear Lord, the kingdom, dear Jesus, and we thank you for that. We bless you on this day, dear Lord, for every household represented, dear Jesus. Every father that could be in the house, for those that could not, dear Lord, we bless them. And we ask that you encourage their heart, dear Lord. Bless the word on today, dear Jesus. Let us hear from you, dear Lord. Let our spiritual ears be awakened, dear Lord, and our hearts be open to receive what you have in store, dear Lord. I pray for Pastor Stanley, dear Lord, that word he was able to meditate on this morning, dear Lord, that his cup is full of overflow, dear Jesus, and it's ready to flow into our hearts and our ears this morning, dear Lord. I pray and thank you that you've ministered to him first, dear Lord, and we stand ready to receive, dear Lord, with our arms, our spiritual hearts wide open, dear Lord. Help us all to be blessed by your spirit on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Is everybody staying in? Oh, the kids are leaving? Okay. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you for the children's ministry, and we just pray you for guidance in there and patience. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. All right. I'm super duper spoiled today. My goddaughter Zoe got me this, and then she got me this, and all of these stuff. There's so many little things. And then she got me this hat that says God's Army, and I love you, Jesus, on the back. And Israel got me this great card that says, Happy Father's Day to the man who knows everything there is to know about being a dad. Doesn't surprise me that you also know everything about sports, politics, history, haircuts, barbecue, home repair, I'm talking driving, money. It's crazy. So praise God. And then I'm loving this pen. Okay, and then my t-shirt. Check out my t-shirt. This must be. See that? That's right. That's me. All right. Well, I've been spoiled. Don't drink Pastor Sandy. He's spoiled. Okay. Yesterday, I got to spend time with a couple of my brothers at the park, and there was a lot of young people there, and you realize that they're in a trap. They're just playing out whatever the agenda has taught them, and they don't really understand what's going on in life. And if you don't understand what's going on in life, and nobody teaches you, you're just going to be set in a trap. So I was sitting there, and the young ladies started talking. Some young ladies started talking. I thought I was listening to a Richard Pryor album. There was so much F-bombs and stuff coming, and they were mad over some guy, and they didn't seem to mind that there were other adults there with gray beards that might not want to hear it. So they were just giving us an earful. And I don't think we said anything. I think we were scared. So, but I wanted to get a chance to go witness to them or pray for them or something, because I realized like that's the atmosphere they grew up in, and no, they probably don't do church or anything like that. So God has really got to cause Christians to tell the truth, cause parents to tell the truth to their children, and we have to know what the truth is so that we can share it with them. You understand? I think a lot of Christians don't share the truth because we don't, because most Christian churches don't really preach what's going on, what's really going on. It's kind of like an entertainment center, most of them. So you can go your whole life, go to church, and never know really what's going on in the world, okay? Never know what God's plan is. Never know anything about really what's going on. And so therefore, your teachers become your entertainment. And your teachers become your television. And your teachers become the music that you listen to. And so you begin to emulate what you hear on TV and also what you listen to, because if the majority of the music that you listen to is talking about foolishness, your conversation is going to be about that. You understand? So you really, God is like, he wants you to protect your mind. He wants you to protect your heart. He wants you to make sure that you are protecting what's inside of you so that you're not corrupted by what Satan is trying to sell you. Praise God. You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay. When I was talking to my brother last year, and he didn't know, I went to hear him preach once. He preached at a church that he was going to. I went to hear him preach, and then you know he left that church and went to another church, and he was working in the ministry there, and then we were sitting in my house and we were watching Left Behind. And the moment came where the people disappeared, right? The church was taken. Trumpet blast, the people were taken. And my brother went, "What happened?" And I went, because I'm thinking he's preached before, he works at a church, he must know what the rapture is, right? He was like, "What happened?" I said, "The rapture." So I had to go to the scriptures and show him scriptures on the rapture so that he'll know that God has a plan to take his church out of the world one day, right? But the churches, most churches don't share that because that doesn't get much tithes, you know, and offerings, right? So they don't really share that portion of God's plan. So it's a lot of things that you can sit in church and be in church and not learn in church, and then therefore you think, as long as I went to church, then, and I believe that God is up there, that I must be saved and everything must be fine. And if someone doesn't tell you the truth, you'll be in living in this delusional state where you're thinking that I'm a Christian. Why are you a Christian? Because I go to church. Like Pastor Ben said, roaches go to church. I think we got them all though, Pastor Ben.
I think so, man.
But going to church don't make you a Christian. That's what I'm saying, okay? So I want to try and really explain to you guys what's going on, okay? Because I really want you to know. Now, the one thing that you need to know, and I think that first grade through sixth grade should be all about teaching kids this. There have been millions of people that lived on this earth before you kids, and none of them have left here without leaving this body. You understand?
Amen.
So all of us are going to move on to another stage. And when you leave this world and you move to the next stage, God has created two places for people to be. He created heaven so that when you leave, you can be in his presence and you can enjoy music and then you can enjoy laughter and you can enjoy family. You can do all of those things. He's created that. And then he created another place for people who want to steal, kill, cheat, lie, and do bad things. He created another place, and it's called Hades, which is one day going to turn into the lake of fire. So I think, like, from first grade, you should teach kids there is a consequence to how you live, okay? And so letting kids grow up believing that everybody, when they die, go to heaven, because that's what they tell you. I've been to a lot of funerals, even when I was a kid, and there's always what happened to the man in the box? He went to a better place. Like, wow. And especially if you knew him and he wasn't that good of a person, and you're like, he went to a better place? Like, better than here? So everybody who leaves here doesn't go to heaven. You understand? But if you know Christ and you're living for Christ, the Bible says you have no idea what you're in store for, the goodness that he has prepared for you. But people need to know and understand that this is a reality. The other reality is this. The person that's in charge of the earth now is not on your side.
Amen.
Lucifer, Satan, is the god of this world. So most of the entertainment and most of the learning that you're going to get from television, from outside sources other than the Bible, is going to teach you how to go to hell. Okay? Amen. And you've got to be able to distinguish what's good and what's evil. And you've got to be able to have a will to say, I don't want to be involved in that because I want to be with God. Okay? As soon as I sat down, there was all this profanity going on. And I'm like, whew, you got to be careful when you accept invitation to a family gathering. Because you don't know what's going on at the family gathering, right? Amen. So it was a reality check for me that if we don't, as Christians, tell people the truth, they won't know. So don't be ashamed to tell somebody, well, you know, the Lord is coming. He's going to take his church and then tribulation is going to start and you're going to be living in tribulation if you're not right with Jesus. You're telling them the truth.
Amen.
But it's Satan that makes you feel like, oh, I don't want to scare them. No, they need to be scared. I would like to know if I'm driving the wrong way off a cliff.
Yep.
I would really like to know, like, you know, you only got a little ways to go and it's down and you're going to crash and burn. I need to know that.
Yeah.
You're not insulting me by telling me to stop and turn around. You understand?
Amen.
So if we don't tell people the truth, and if pastors don't tell people the truth, television's not going to tell you the truth. Your friends are influenced by what they've seen all their life, so they're not going to tell you the truth. The language that they use is what they hear in their music and their television, so they're going to talk that way, and they wonder why. You don't curse? Really? I never hear you curse. Why you don't curse? It's almost weird to them. You understand? But God says, let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay? So God hates profanity. Daniel, my friend, he says on his way into hell when he got shot and died, he said, profanity is like the language of hell. It's like you just hear all this profanity as you're the closer you're getting to it. So it's the language that people use, but not in heaven. Ain't nobody in heaven, but they got a language there, and Satan is trying to teach you their language here.
Yeah.
So don't be a Christian that says, well, I curse a little. I use hell's language just a little bit. Don't be that person. Sanctify yourself and get out of that. Now, don't be judging nobody either. Because my first year of Christianity was not nice. It was constant. Sorry for that one, Lord. Sorry for that. But you know what? You'll get to a stage, once you keep continue reading the Bible, you'll get to a stage that you hate profanity, that you hate the sound of it, that you don't like it coming out of your mouth, that you don't have to even think about it no more because you wouldn't say it.
Amen.
And that's called sanctification. And that's called growing in Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to read for you today four scriptures that tell you that you're going to disappear. I want you to go to Psalms chapter 12. And I want to know if the Bible is consistently telling you that one day God is going to take people out of the earth, why did I not hear about this growing up in church? Why did no one talk about this? I mean, the Bible was around then. The idea was around then, but why no one was talking about it? Here it is, Psalms chapter 12.
Verse 1.
Let's start from verse 1. It says, "Help, Lord, the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. They say, 'We will triumph with our tongues.' We own our lips. Who is our master?" So you hear the language that they're saying? But at first it says, "Help us, Lord. The righteous people have vanished." Okay, now, go to Micah chapter 7. And here you have the same word. It said, "What misery," verse 1, "what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly," it says here, "have been swept away from the land." But it uses the Hebrew word, the godly people have been avad, they have vanished from the earth. It uses the Hebrew word to vanish, avad. All the godly people have vanished from the earth. And it says, "The godly have been swept away from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his neighbor with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accept a bribe. The powerful dictate what they want." So now they're explaining to you, after the righteous disappear, look what the earth turns into. Nothing but evil. You should know that by junior high school. By the time you graduate from junior high school, you should know that one day God is going to take his people out of the earth and the whole earth is going to turn completely evil. And it's going to be a 7-year period and you don't want to be a part of that. So from elementary, you learned about hell. Junior high school, I'm teaching you about the rapture. So now, at least as a human being, you're not thinking, "I'm just living out doing whatever I can do." You understand that there is a God and he does have a plan, okay? And if you're living right, he has a plan for you. And if you're living wrong, he has a plan for you. And we have to know these things and we have to express them to other people. You know why? If you sit around there and talk sports with people who don't know God, when they leave, guess what? They don't know God. Only one person walked away from that conversation knowing God. Guess what? The person who already knew him when he sat down. So you do a disservice to them and you do a disservice to the gospel because you're quiet about it, okay? The reason we're quiet about it is because we don't want them to think that we're judging them or we're being too holy. which I want you to say. When I leave, I want them to call me pastor. You hear, Emerson? I want them to call me pastor. I want to be insulted. I want you to say, you know what? All he does is talk about God. I want them to say that. Because you know who else hears that in heaven? God is hearing that.
Amen.
And so let that be something that you're proud of, okay? Here she comes. She's going to bring up God. She's going to start talking about Jesus. Well, good. I think they said that about Jesus. Oh, here he comes. He's going to start talking about salvation and doing things right. What's his name? Jesus. Be that way. It's not a bad thing to be that way. So that's the second one. Then in Isaiah chapter 26, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 and 20. It says, but the dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Then it says, go, my people, enter your room, shut the door behind you, hide yourself for a little while until the wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. So it says the earth will disclose its bloodshed upon her, and she will conceal her slain no longer. So that there is telling you, God is going to tell the righteous people, leave, come with me, hide yourself for 7 years, or hide yourself for a little while until my wrath is over, or until I finish vacuuming this earth. Because the evil that's in this world is going to one day no longer be. And it's God's plan. And we talk about the Bible as if it's religion, yet it's only the Bible that's telling you everything that's going on.
Amen.
So there seems to be one truth in this world, and that's the Bible.
Yes.
The Bible told Israel they were going to be in Germany 3,000 years before they got to Germany. You understand that?
Amen.
The Bible told you exactly what year Hitler was going to die and what year Israel would be back in the land. The Bible told you that before it happened.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, all things are being prophesied in Scripture. I'm sitting there talking to my brothers the other day, and they're talking about cryptocurrency. People get excited about cryptocurrency. I say, do you know the numerical value for the registration of that is 060606? And I say, zero has no value. So what is it? They said, see, really? Is that in the Bible? Yeah, it's in Revelation chapter 13. But if I don't say nothing, that means they haven't read it. So you're getting excited about digital currency in 666, and the Bible says that's what the world is going to. But nobody tells you the truth. Why? I don't want to bring up Bible stuff because they might not like me. Be like Jesus. Let you walk away and they got an attitude. Just be like Jesus. Here, let's go one more time. Let's go to Thessalonians. Oh, you know what? Let's go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. It says here, the righteous.
Verse 1.
It says, the righteous have vanished. Your Bibles might say perish, but when I read in the Hebrew, it says, tzadik avad, which means the righteous disappear, and no one ponders in their heart. The devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from evil. So God is telling you once again, I'm coming, I'm taking the righteous, I'm taking them out of the earth. Why? To spare them from evil. So everyone should know this. Your kids, this should not be a subject that your kids don't know about. Because when you don't know the truth about God, you get your reality from entertainment and television. So don't be afraid to tell them the truth. Don't be afraid to tell them that hell exists. Don't be afraid to tell them that God listens to every word you say. Be careful how you talk. Don't be afraid to say, don't steal, don't do these things, because God don't like it, and you could end up in hell. Why are you talking so much like that? Because it's truth. And I want you to know this growing up, that God rewards those who diligently seek him, who love him and they diligently seek him, God rewards them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you don't want to be on that side, I'm telling you, I always say it, God is love, but what? He can be a bad dude. So if you understand, we could, yeah. Okay, let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. Because, yeah. Now, even Matthew tells us what? No, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Because Thessalonians, I could tell you that. Thessalonians says, a trumpet is going to blast. And the dead in Christ, everybody who dead has died in Christ, is going to receive a resurrected body. Now, a lot of people, you guys don't know. If you go to hell, it says God gave them a body. God gives you a body to exist in hell that regenerates, that goes through pain, is destroyed, and regenerates. That goes through pain and destroyed and regenerates. That can sit in fire and not be consumed. You get a body when you go there. So people don't know and understand this. They think that, oh, you know, when I die, whatever the preacher says, that's the truth. No matter if I'm selling drugs, cheating on my wife, doing whatever, it says, whatever the preacher says must be true. He's in a better place. Some of those people be like, no, I'm not. Tell them the truth. I'm not in a better place. So we have to understand and know there. Look, this world's been around a long time. But God has a plan for it and it has an ending for it. And God wants you to be a part of the good ending. I love a beautiful ending. So I want to be on that side.
Amen.
You in Matthew? Chapter 24, we're going to start at verse 38. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Now, we forget about the flood happened before, okay? Because people, they don't even talk about that. To them, that's a Bible story. It says, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, perilambano, as a friend or a companion with God, and the other will be divorced, left behind. And it says, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken as a friend or a companion to God, and the other one will be divorced. Therefore, so God is telling you, this day is coming. Okay, God, I'm gonna tell you something. It's impossible for God to lie.
No.
Do you know that? So this day is coming. This day is coming. And there'll be two people in one place. One will be taken and the other one left. But the scripture says, when the trumpet blasts, the whole world will be terrified. And from that being terrified, they will now know and understand, oh my good, something supernatural just happened right in front of my eyes. Maybe that guy who irritates me was telling me the truth. It's okay to irritate people who don't know God.
Amen.
Irritate me. I'm driving the wrong way. The cliff is only a half a mile away. What do you mean, turn off my music? I'm having a good time. Leave me alone. All right, at least I told you. At least I didn't just, you driving by and I didn't go, Lakers played great last night.
Right.
He gonna die. And you know?
Amen.
Listen to this. Therefore, he says, watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, that if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? How many of you faithful and wise servants? Who are we faithful and wise servants of? Jesus Christ, whom the master put in charge of his servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. So if you're doing good, you get rewarded, right? But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, man, these people been talking about Jesus a long time. I'm going back to the club. And I'm a grown person. I should be able to curse whenever I feel like it. Because I'm telling you, sin sneaks back up. You remember? Now look, let me tell you something. Every one of you, when you got saved, your flesh didn't get saved. Your body did not, your soul didn't even get saved. Your soul is being transferred to start thinking like God. But your soul didn't get saved. I mean, it didn't endure a tremendous one-time change right there. Now, God is trying to save your soul, but to save your soul, you've got to bring your flesh into submission. And so the whole thing about being a Christian is my flesh dies daily. I'm killing myself, my flesh, daily, because I don't want my flesh to rule my body. I don't want my flesh to rule my thoughts, my attitudes, my actions. I don't want my flesh to do that, because I know from elementary school there's a heaven and there's a hell. Yeah. And I learned in junior high school that there's a rapture coming and the world's going to turn to tribulation, and I don't want to be left. If the world told you the truth.
Yeah.
But since Satan is the god of this world, you don't get the truth, so I'm giving it to you now. You're going to live forever somewhere. And it's up to you to decide. Let's go. I'm going to finish reading this. My master's staying away, they said. And then he begins to beat the fellow servants and to eat and to think like the drunkards. I mean, and to drink with drunkards. And it says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place. Even though he was a servant of God, it says he will assign him a place with the hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? What comes out of my mouth is not what I do. What? I love the Lord with all my heart. I'm a born-again Christian. Hey, man, you want to go do shots after work? Sure. I'm giving my bachelor party at a strip club. You want to go? Sure. Why? Because what you say out of your mouth don't mean nothing to your actions. You understand? Hey, man, that guy took that park from you and you was going to get it first. Curse him out. That's what I'm going to do. Why? Because your flesh controls everything. You don't stay in the Word. The Word of God will transform your flesh to become sanctified and think more like God. The Word of God will transfer your soul to be more like God. When your soul wants to be sad, your spirit will tell your soul, praise the Lord. What are you doing? Because Satan would love for you to be sad. Satan would love for you to walk around with guilt. Satan would love that. But your spirit tells your soul, repent and just get back to work. Because your soul is a teenager and your flesh is a five-year-old. And you've got to teach them to think with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit.
Amen.
So it says here, he will cut them to pieces and give them a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here we go. I want us to go to, you go to 2 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read something from Jasher before I go there to read. Okay, you guys know the story about Abraham. He's taking his son Isaac to sacrifice him, right? Now, God told Abraham, take your son, sacrifice to the mountain that I tell you, and sacrifice your son there. But God has already told Abraham the gospel, that there's a resurrection, that he's control of life. So Abraham is taking his son to do exactly what God told him to do. He's going to be obedient, okay? Now watch this. It says, and Abraham was proceeding with his son along the road, and Satan came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of an aged man, humble and contrite of spirit. And he approached Abraham and said to him, are you so silly and brutish that you're going to do this thing this day to thy only son? God gave you a son in your old age, in your latter years. And will you go and slaughter him this day because he's committed no violence? And will thou cause the soul of thy only son to perish from the earth? What's Satan trying to do? He's trying to convince Abraham not to obey God. Satan appears to Abraham in the form of an old man who's wise and sorrowful, and he just wants him to do the right thing. Don't do this. You know, I know God told you, but don't. He doesn't even bring up God. He's just saying, this is something you should be wiser than this. So the Lord was speaking to me concerning this, and he says, angels have always had the ability to transform into different forms. The snake spoke to Eve, but the Bible says, be careful when you're entertaining strangers, because some of us have entertained angels unaware. You understand? Satan is an angel. He still has the same ability. So when you're thinking about doing the good thing and you get somebody come to you telling you, come on, man. It's like, it's one drink. It's just to hang out with the buddies. And you're like, no, the Lord told me he don't want me to be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But God knows that Satan, if you want to obey, he'll send other people to tell you not to obey. Satan will appear to you as the old girlfriend from high school that just wanted to know how you doing. How you doing? I just want to know. We had so much fun in high school. You were so funny. Give me your number. No, I'm married. Get out. Get lost. But I'm telling you, Satan has never stopped deceiving human beings, and his number one target is born-again Christians. Because he knows you don't read the Bible, so you don't really know, and you're really susceptible to thoughts. You're susceptible to other people coming, because he knows your flesh really wants to sin. I just got to give you a good reason to do it. Mm. It's not porn. It's just a bikini contest. Go ahead and watch. And every man in here knows it's the same thing, because that brain start twitching around in that head. And God knows you can't do that, because he made your body not to be able to sustain that. So you have to do what Job did. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes only to look upon my wife. I made a covenant with my eyes. You're not looking at anything if it's not my wife. And so God is not going to come down and tie your arms, put a blindfold. Don't watch this. Send the angels down and blindfold them and make them turn it off. It's not going to happen. Because the reward comes from what? Your free will wanting to do the will of God. You want to serve God, so you're going to submit your will to God. You're going to give back God the only thing that you can possibly give him. And what is that? Your will, your obedience. You have nothing else that you can give God for dying on the cross for you except for your will and your obedience. God says he'll take that gift and he will reward you for giving him that gift. Go to 2 Peter. Are you in 2 Peter now? All right. Here we go. Now listen. But there, in verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into dispute. What's the big dispute today? Once you get saved, you're always saved. That's the big dispute. You can live in sin. Once you accept Christ, you can live in sin. And you'll still go to heaven. So the truth says you can't do that. But they're bringing it. We've got 46,000 churches that teach. Once you get the right hand of fellowship, you can go back to sinning and still be saved. You could do the ABCs of salvation and then go back to sinning and you'll still always be saved. There was a pastor, died in a hotel with a prostitute, overdosed on drugs. And then the pastors was fighting for who's going to take over his church. Paula White wanted the church. So this other person wanted the church. Everybody trying to figure out who's going to get the church. Because it was a big church. Nobody said, oh my goodness, he had problems. Not one of them preached, he had problems. They wanted the church. And so I'm letting you know, being a pastor don't make you exempt from sin. I don't know about you guys, but I'm at home training, exercising in the Bible, in the spirit, putting on armor, because you know what I know? The fight's still on. Well, I'm a pastor. I know you won't bother me. I told my brothers the other day, I was at a Vietnamese restaurant that they told me to be security over there. I went over there and a guy goes, hey man, I got these two girls. They like your muscles. You want to go up to the room with us after you get off? I said, I'm a pastor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my beautiful wife is at home. You can take them two things up there to your room, do whatever you want. But you need Jesus too, bro.
Amen.
Now, you know what gave me the thing to be able to do that? Was because I love God, and I love my wife, and I'm committed to that. Amen. You understand?
Amen.
Now, as a young Christian, dumb, well, sure, God, it ain't like God will see me. We're going to be in a room, right? And my wife won't know, right? Because you think that God don't see everything you do and hear every word you say. Look, I said something bad about somebody in my mind. And the Holy Spirit said, I heard him loud. What did you say?
My Lord.
You can hear what I think? I said, he said, go back and apologize and tell him about Jesus. The guy was smoking cigarettes and I walked by and the smoke was getting in and I said something under my lip that wasn't very Christian. And God said, go back, apologize and tell him about Jesus. I was like, go back, hey man, you know, people walk by here so you know, you might want to watch how you blow your smoke. But you know, I had a bad attitude, but you know Jesus Christ? But I'm telling you, God not only knows what you do and what you say, he hears what you think. So understand who you're dealing with, okay? The reward is I'm going to submit to God. Lord, give me a heart to know you. Because the problem is always in the heart, okay? Because you can be thinking Christian, but your heart could be thinking sin. God, change my heart, that my heart desires to be obedient to you. Let's keep reading this because I need to get the Pastor Ben gonna say something in a minute. Okay, now it says many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into dispute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has been long hanging over them, and their destruction is not sleeping. It hasn't been sleeping. God knows what they're doing. All the T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollars and Joel Osteens and all these things, God knows everything they're doing. And believe me, if that young lady ever comes out there, and I think she's hesitating, if she ever comes out with her testimony of her lawsuit and what she's doing, they've offered her $13 million to be quiet. She said elite pastors have offered her $13 million to be quiet. And then she starts saying some of the elite pastors. Matter of fact, she says while she was in jail, she heard Joel Osteen on TV. And while she was in prison, he comes on TV and he says, give the Lord one more chance. I know you're in a dark place. And she said, I decided to give God one more chance that night. But she said the guy on TV was a guy that was at one of the pedophile things that I was subjected to. He was one of them, and now he's on TV preaching. And she says, oh my goodness. But she said, I'm gonna give God one more chance. But she lets it known be on the interview, but I only knew it, I only looked because I knew his face. So you guys don't know and understand, we should be tired of being stooges for bad pastors.
Amen.
You should be tired of it.
Amen.
People should stand up and just walk out.
Amen.
Say, you wave a jacket and the whole people, all this whole row falls down on the ground and starts shaking. I should know there's some witchcraft in there. I should walk out.
Right.
My brother told me the other day, the guy called him up to be prayed for. And he said, please fall for me, brother. He just said, just fall for me. And he said, my brother said, the Lord said to him, if you do, he says, you're going to be in sin. And my brother said, no, and walked off. He said, I'm not going to be a part of your show. But see, it's the show that brings the money.
Oh, boy.
Because the people want to see a show.
Right.
Forget the show.
Right.
Read your Bible and find out. You don't need to run to a deliverance conference.
Amen.
Because they're going to put on a show.
Amen.
Find you some real Christians and pray.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We should be tired of the show.
Yeah. Amen.
How much time I got, Pastor Ben? Okay, praise God, I got time. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Verse 4. If God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. And so that's what's going on. You got to live among them, and it grieves you. Trying to watch basketball, Next commercial is about transgender fashion show. The NFL celebrating, we're gonna have our first transgender cheerleader. I will not watch an NFL game all year. I'm done with the NFL.
Amen.
NFL, now, now following Lucifer. That's what NFL stands for. Because I'm telling you, I shouldn't be watching a football game and have to watch two men kiss. I shouldn't have to be watching basketball and watch two men kiss. There should be some type of thing that someone is saying, if you're going to do this, you're not going to have my kids watching that sport.
Right.
Because they know little kids are watching football players.
Yep.
Little kids are watching basketball. And so since they can't put it on the screen, they're going to throw it right in the middle of the commercials. So you're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you don't even know and understand it. Sodom and Gomorrah did not like their people. They did not like people. When people came to Sodom and Gomorrah, they would lock the gates and they would say, if anybody feeds this stranger, they're going to be subject to death. And so the stranger would stay in the midst of the city and he would be starving to death. And if anyone fed him, they would be subject to prison or death. And then when the man died from hunger, then they were free to go and take whatever possessions that he had. That was a law in Sodom. So I'm telling you, the place was corrupt, like it is now. Because you don't have to go to downtown LA to see a homeless person. That's not natural. Even that back then when I was a kid was horrible that they had an area that people didn't have homes. Now it's all over everywhere. And there's not a politician that cares, because if they cared, they got the money to do it.
Yep.
So you're living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God's got to judge this place. And you should already know from elementary school that there's a heaven and a hell, and you should know from junior high school that there's going to be a rapture and tribulation is coming. Yeah. So you've been well educated. Yeah. You've already know that your tongue and every word that comes out of it, God is listening to it. Yeah. I'm teaching you that in elementary and junior high school, because I want you in heaven and not in hell.
Amen.
Because like Daniel Hood said, when he got shot, he said, it's real. He said, you're going to be more alive than what you are now. And he said, I heard nothing but screaming as I'm being escorted into tunnel, and something grabbed me and I thumped back into my body. And he said, so it's the real place. And I'm trying to bring people to reality, because people say, people just don't preach like you. I hated pastors for a long time. Because I was like, I don't want to be associated with them. I never met a good one. I just did. When God told me to be to open a church, I was like, is there something I could call myself other than a pastor? Could I? Because I just didn't want that stigma. It's like used car salesman.
Right.
I just didn't want that stigma on my life. But it's not a bad title. It's what the people have done to it.
Yeah.
I got to get to the area because Pastor Bean going to say something. Man. Hold up. When I stop, okay? Nine. Okay. Let's start reading at nine. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly men from trial and to hold unrighteous for the day of judgment, while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow corrupt desires of the sinful nature. You hear that? Don't follow it. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of their sinful nature and despise authority. The authority is God. Bold and arrogant these men are not afraid of slander, are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring a slanderous accusation such bring in the presence of the Lord. I messed that up, but it's not the scripture I wanted to get to. It says, but these men blaspheme in the matter that they do not understand. And that's what I wanted to say. People blaspheme God, but they don't understand. Go down to verse 13. They will be paid back with harm for harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, revealing in their pleasure, reviling in their pleasure while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, are they? An accused brood, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. You know who was the prophet that suggested that the Pharaoh kill all the kids? Balaam. Balaam was making so much money. God blessed him to be a prophet, and he made so much money because he just started prophesying, but he only did it for money. And so being a pastor, it can turn into money. It's your job to not let it happen. Because ain't nobody giving you money so you can get a new car. Mm-hmm. People giving you money to help people.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tell that truth.
Here it goes. Verse 16. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water, mists driven by a storm. Black and darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words by appealing to the lustful desire and sinful human nature. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever masters him. So if sin is your master, Jesus is not your Lord.
Amen.
It says, if, this is important, you guys, listen to this. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcame, they are worse off at the end than they were in the beginning. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
God says it'd be better that you not ever know me than to know me and to go back into the world. Now, I don't know what that means, because I know if you're not saved, you go to hell. But if I got saved and I went back into sin, what happens to me?
Hello.
God is trying to talk to us. Listen, if you love God, he wants you to live for him. If you love God, he wants you to get into your word so that your flesh and your soul starts obeying the word of God. You understand? It's a very dangerous thing to get in a relationship with the God who owns heaven and hell and has the key. You understand?
Amen.
God doesn't bring you in threatening you, but he wants you to know you're in a dangerous relationship.
Yeah.
It's like, Big Wetter? Who used to be in our neighborhood, right? Big girl, she's half Amoran, half Spanish. She could beat up any dude, any guy that came in the neighborhood. She played football with us, and when she played, we playing touch, because we don't want you tackling us. And if people got in an argument with her And we would try to tell the people, like, no, don't do it. Because we know, we would say, she gonna ragdoll him. you don't know ragdoll, that means you throw, yeah. She would throw him around, man. She was a big girl. And then one day, our friend Daniel, he says, hey, I'm in love. We went with who? He said, with Big Weta. I was like, no, man, you don't want to do that. He was like, no, I like her. He said, her real name is Florence. I was like, really, you know her real name? He said, yeah. So then you see her coming down the street, and her and Daniel be holding hands. And you go, whoa, she'd be laughing. He's like, I never seen it. What is like laughing? And then one day we were all standing together, and she came over and she said, Daniel, I need to talk to you. And he said, say what you have to say. All of us are friends. So we standing there, and she says, you know how much I like you, and I'm really kind of falling in love with you. And but I just want to make sure that you're not playing games. Because if you are, you know, I don't want nobody to get hurt. And then he said, you know, he said, you know how much I like you. And she walked off. And I said, did you hear what she said?
Yeah, boy.
You know what he said? He said, yeah, I heard her say, I love you. She said, she loves me and she really into me. I said, no, the other part. She's not talking about somebody's feelings get hurt. She's talking about you gonna get hurt. You just got threatened and you don't even know it.
Put on notice.
They was boyfriend from junior high school to high school and got married.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm like, and we were scared for him the whole time.
Scared for him too.
But you know what? He never turned away from her. He never cheated on her. He never did any of these things. All he did was love that girl, and he loved her with all his heart. From junior high school to high school, he loved that girl with all his heart.
Wow.
And they would, and she was always bigger than him, and they'd walk around with his little skinny self holding hands. And listen, it's okay to fall in love with God. But he might want to give you a little speech.
Yep.
Listen, I done brought you out of sin, and I'm falling in love with you.
Yeah, boy.
Matter of fact, every day you wake up, my mind is on you.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something.
Get hurt.
Don't mess around. Because somebody could get hurt.
Yeah, Lord.
You got to know that when you come to Christ.
Yeah.
He's patient. Yep. He's kind. Yep. Slow to anger. Yep. Always holding your hand. Always trying to bring you back into relationship. God is not quick to anger. Stop treating God like he's quick to anger. Mm-hmm. He's not. You see somebody in sin, tell them this, you're in sin, man, you need to do this, and make sure that God, you know, hears that you're repenting and you want to live for it. But don't make God like, if you sin one time, oh, you just done, you're not even really saved. Because now you're being arrogant.
Right.
Because you forget how much patience God had with you.
Yeah. That's true.
And I remember the patience. So I'm there. I was perfect to be a pastor. You know why? I wasn't arrogant about being righteous. Because I knew who I was. So I knew, be patient with people. People are growing in Christ. They need opportunity to get rid of things out of their life. And God is very patient and kind. But you have to know and understand, you're in a body that don't want to live for God. And someone's been lying to you, telling you that there's no hell. And someone's been lying to you, telling you there's never going to be a rapture. That's a lie. So understand now the truth, okay? We've trained you from elementary school to know the truth. Conduct your life. Conduct your attitude. Conduct your study time. because you should be in the Word. Conduct your prayer life like you in a relationship with Big Weta.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, Satan will come and he'll say, you know, she ain't here right now.
Mm-hmm.
She won't know. You go find out.
Yeah.
And God does know. And I don't want to be on God's side. It is better that you never know me than to know me. He says it's better if you didn't know me. Does that sound like once saved, always saved?
No.
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 That's God telling you. It's better if you never knew me than to know me and to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm holding on to God. And the reason why I'm holding on is because I read the end of the Bible.
Yeah.
We win. You can't imagine your home in heaven because you got to be there for 7 years. You can't imagine the places you're going to visit for 7 years. You can't imagine how much love and joy and what a wonderful time you're going to have living with Jesus in the kingdom for 7 years. You can't imagine it. And you have to know and understand that all the people that don't know Christ, you used to be in their situation. You used to be them. And now you're in Christ, in your right mind. This is something to be thankful for. All your sins have been paid for.
Yes.
And if you should mess up tomorrow, guess what? You can repent and get back in right standing. You're also a child, so you have some rights.
Yes.
But you have no right to start sitting and thinking you're getting away with it and stop reading your word and stop communicating with God. You don't have that right because it disallows and it distinguishes the whole relationship. So let's know the truth, okay? Let's know the truth. We're in a relationship with a wonderful God, absolutely wonderful. Like I always said, I would have done some of the things, or someone would have done some of the things that I was doing to God, I would have been like, I'm done with you. I'm in prison and I hear I love you. I'm sitting in jail. And God is like, I love you. And so don't tell me God is not patient and kind and just a beautiful person and he wants the best for us. But don't believe the lie and to think that you can do what you want and be in relationship with him. Praise God.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.